When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I suppose you sort of get tribal about it in a way. It becomes a religion. You can change your car, you can change your wife, you can never change your football team, kid. My name's Glenn. I've been an upholsterer all my life. I've been in this particular workshop for 25 years now. Still going strong. Some old ticket stubs there. 1999, that one is. West Brom away, that's why it's upside down. 13 quid that was.
When's that from?
That's from the 80s, that is. So you got Jeff Palmer, John Richards on there, Kenny Ibbitt. Well, I bought that at a football auction.
I love how you still haven't taken it out of the wrapping though. It's smart though, it's proper smart.
Oh, it is, it's lovely. This is the most successful team in our club's history in the 50s, where we dominated it. First memory, just going up with my dad really and just looking round and people singing and chanting, and you more or less watch the crowd as a youngster before you even watch the football.
Good evening everyone, welcome to your latest Wolves Fancast match preview. I'm your host Little Dan. On tonight's show I've got with me Manny. How you doing, Manny?
How are you doing, Dan, Jordan? Thank you for having me on your show.
No, welcome to the Fancast. It's time to join the big leagues, Manny. We've got that loan signing with no option to buy. Yeah, you're a coveted asset alongside, obviously, always Wolves. And
I should have told Dazzling Dave, shouldn't I? Oh, no.
There's a rift. There's a summer move in the making. If some of you remember early on the season, we had Jordan Gale, obviously famous from Married at First Sight UK, and recent boxing champion Jordan. How are things with you? Tell us a little bit more about that boxing bout that you recently had.
Yeah, no, I'm good, thank you. Happy to be back on your podcast. And the only thing that was sore after the fight was my wrist from clipping him on the top of his head, but I feel good. And I think it was one of the highlights of my life, honestly. It was amazing. It was surreal to walk in front of thousands of people and fight in front of everyone who was watching online. And it was great. I love boxing. It's like is football or boxing battling out between number one in terms of my favourite sport. So yeah, it was just a privilege to do that. I feel honoured.
Yeah, it's a special sport, boxing. It really, sorts the men out from the boys. I've found. I used to do a bit myself. Yeah. I definitely wasn't.
Was boy, mate? What level was that at, mate?
Below strawweight, Manny. But no, I really enjoyed it from a physical and a discipline sort of angle. It's a really good thing for anyone to get involved in of all ages. It's one of the best I've ever felt when I was doing boxing regularly. I'd encourage anyone to pick it up. Let's get back into the football chat this season. This episode. I've got Rich Hobbs join us late. How are you, Rich?
Evening, all good. Looking forward to the game for the weekend.
It is. It's game week 26 of the Premier League this weekend. Obviously, Wolves play Sheffield United at home at 1:30 p.m. on Sky. Saturday fixtures are Aston Villa versus Forest, Brighton versus Everton, Crystal Palace at home to Burnley, Man United play Fulham, and the second place Man City travel to Bournemouth. And Arsenal Newcastle is the 8 p.m. kickoff on Saturday night. Looking at those fixtures there, Rich, where's your money for a bank on the Saturday fixtures?
Saturday fixtures, it's a toughie, to be honest, because apart from arguably the Bournemouth game, they're all fairly evenly matched. I'm interested to see Fulham Man United personally, just because I think Man United are quietly trying to get some points on the board at this point, and Fulham are inconsistent at best for me. So that game piques my fancy. In terms of an actual banker, probably Villa at home, and it pains me to say it.
Yeah, it's a tough one. I think Villa would probably be my bet. Nat Hughes in the comments section saying banker has to be Sheffield United. That's why I went with the leading question of the Saturday fixtures now, because what's that saying in The Matrix? That is the sound of inevitability. Sunday, you just know what Classic Wolves is going to appear. Look at those fixtures there, Manny.
I'm going to go for Palace. I think, you know, new manager, Burnley struggling. I just think they're the kind of hot and cold side. And when the fans are on side, they're very good. And I've got a sneaky feeling they'll probably have a good result. And I agree with the Fulham. I can't see United have, I think, turned it around, haven't they, a little bit? Hoyland scoring goals now for fun. As soon as they've got a goal scorer scoring goals, then they'll always be dangerous, you know, and they're on a bit of a roll.
Man United have seriously to turn a corner recently. I think that's a lot due to the fact of how much form Rasmus Hojlund's come in. I mean, we had a discussion on our podcast the other week that there was a lot of teams that needed a number nine in the January transfer window. Wolves, I think Arsenal needed a number nine. Man United needed a number nine until Hojlund came into a bit of form. And, you know, Man United are now 3 points off fifth, 5 points behind Villa, who they beat the other weekend. Manny mentioned there, Jordan, that he fancies Crystal Palace to beat Burnley at home. That would be a big result for you if you can pick up points against Wolves on Sunday. That would get you off the bottom of the table.
Yeah, well, this is, I was going to say, as shocking as we've been pretty much all season, the crazy thing about it is that, yeah, we are one game away from not being bottom. And I think that our points tally is obviously very low, but Burnley are struggling just as much as us, really. Luton are doing, you know, last season's promotion sides proud, really, because they're the only ones that look like they've got a chance of staying up. But yeah, I mean, as bad as we're doing, we are only seven. I know 7 points is quite a lot, especially at this stage. But, you know, a win on against Wolves does again get us believing a bit. But yeah, obviously we need results to go around us, really.
We love to make people believe we do. We love it.
I'm hoping that Sheffield United aren't this season's Huddersfield, where we ended, I think it was, did we finish seventh that season, but we still lost to Huddersfield twice?
They
only won 3 matches, I think, that season, and 2 of them were against us.
Just to give Wolves fans a bit of confidence and like another unnerving air of inevitability, Sheffield United, Jordan, have only picked up 5 points away from home this season, and 3 points came recently away to Luton. Big win, the 3-1 win at the Kenny. We won't try and talk about too much about the Brighton slapping last weekend. You go down to 10 men against Brighton, the better times you're going to struggle. Yeah. But take, what positives did you take away from the 3-1 win at Luton?
Yeah, I mean, again, to be fair, I feel like Sheffield United, as fans, like, we only pick up a result when, like, we seem to, like, lose our belief. Like, I did think that we'd go to Luton and lose, just because, again, we did get smashed the game before. And I just thought that even with Wilder coming back, that effect a new manager has just didn't seem to really, like, come into play. And then going down to Luton, obviously, we picked up a great result, a game that we had to win because, again, they was, like, climbing away from us. But again, it's just demoralising that you think, okay, it's a bit of momentum. We're at home after that win. And then we get smashed by Brighton. I know you said that the best teams can get, you know, beat by Brighton. They're a good football inside. But how many times are we going to lose 4-5-0? You know, like, it's not even competitive. It's like the same happened against Villa. You know, it was all in the first half. And, you know, as home fans, you go in there and after 30 minutes, you feel like you've wasted your day or wasted your money. Like, you know, we don't expect to stay up. We don't expect to, like, win a lot of games, but just try and make it competitive. And unfortunately, this season, we've not done that enough. But, yeah, obviously, the result against Luton was needed. But, yeah.
With those 5-0 defeats, because obviously, you know, not to sort of pile in on you, Jordan, but there's been a few recently. Is it a player issue or is it a coaching issue? Because you say, like, to concede that many goals in a first half, it's, you know, it doesn't say great things about either side. And obviously, you know, the sending off was ridiculous in terms of, you know, the challenge. But, you know, the lack of ability to, like, respond to that. And, you know, when you've got Chris Wilder moaning about linesman eating sandwiches when they're speaking to him, it just, I know, where do you kind of sit with Chris Wilder at the moment?
Well, I said this back on the podcast when I was, again, when we played each other a few months ago, is that I, even though we was getting smashed and we was bottom of the league then, I actually still would have not got rid of Heckingbottom, and I liked him as a manager because we had a really good season last season and the club was in a really good place. Then the chairman, the owner of the club, tried to sell the club. No one wanted to buy us. And then the owner sold our two best players the week before the season started. And one of them was Sander Berg to Burnley, a relegation rival. And I just feel like from that moment, the fans were disgusted by it. I think the manager was disgusted by it. No one understood why. And everyone was so angry about it other than the owner, who was cashing in because he wanted to sell the club. And I just feel like from that moment on, I feel like just the atmosphere and the mood around the club is just not great. And I think our squad's nowhere near strong enough. So I think no matter which manager was in charge, I think we'd have struggled. And I think we would be getting beat 4-5-0. And then when Wilder came back, everyone was like, oh, it'll be better now. And I was one of the few that thought, I still think we're going to get beat. And I wouldn't have changed it from Heckingbottom because I don't believe it's the manager's fault. I think it's, again, the mood around the club, also just the lack of ability of the players we've got at our disposal.
We've had a comment, Jordan, which only you can answer. This is from Fabio Silva's Barber. Is Wes Fodringham the worst goalkeeper in the league? Looks like a lower-end championship keeper.
See, and this is the thing as well. Like, honestly, Wes Fodringham, ask any Sheffield United fan, Wes Fodringham was, even though as a promoted side, you know, normally you're not looking at your keepers as one of the, you know, the better players of the season. But the amount of points Wes Fodringham gained us over the last few seasons, two seasons over the championship we had in, so many. He would come up with so many, like, one-on-ones he'd save, like, probably more than he'd let. Like, he makes a lot of big saves. But, yeah, this season he struggled. But saying that, like, you know, Chris Wilder brought in a new keeper, and I think he's only played, like, 3 games for us, but probably conceded, like, 15 goals. So, again, it's easy to look at the keeper and say, you know, that's why we're letting him. You know, like, Wes Fodringham has done great for us, but both keepers have struggled this season.
You've just mentioned 15 there, Jordan. We've had Adam Jones in the comments section saying predicted result of Wolves 15, Sheffield United 3 on the weekend. I mean, I'd be happy with just anywhere close to that. Any big win at home at Molyneux is massively appreciated. But we've already talked about the unnerving air that we're going to give you some, care in the community points this weekend. Manny, I'll take an absolute scruffy 1-0 win all day long.
Oh, definitely, you know, because we've lost our last 2 games at home. After being sort of invincible, you know, that United game, which was, you know, such a bad first half performance, coming back, getting that, you know, late goal and then conceding. And then Brentford, you know, had all the possession, all the sort of control, but made stupid errors and conceded goals. And so I think Wolves, even though Wolves have done really well, they're in a good position, had a great win. At home, we've got to get back on track as well. So, and we know what we're like against sides that are already condemned because, sorry, Jordan, I think the bottom three are the bottom three who are going to go down. Even Luton, if you look at Luton, they've done so well, but they're still in the bottom three, doing so well. Can they do any better? And probably not, and they're still in the bottom three. And it's like the hard luck story. So, it's got any win will be a good win for Wolves after last week. I think any sort of a win.
That is the thing with Luton, isn't it, Manny? As well as they are performing, have they got the know-how to grind out results when the back's against the wall? Obviously, winning 1-0 against Liverpool for a decent period of time the other night, ended up losing. Was it 3 or 4-1? It was a shame it ended that way. But that's you've got to try and dig in deep and at least try and get a draw when you're 1-0 up away from home going in towards... Was it 1-0 up at half-time? I'm not sure.
They were 1-0 up for quite a long time. It was 4-1 in the end.
Yeah. Have they got that nowhere, the guile to get points when they probably don't deserve it? It's going to be a tough ask. Rich, we've spoken numerous times on the podcast this season. For the majority, I think, want Everton to go down. Do you feel Luton can pip Everton to that for that first safety space?
I think probably not, just because I think if you factor in Everton's point deduction, if they didn't have that, they'd be 12th. And even on goal difference, and that's going to be the that's what kind of is going to come down to. And, you know, the mini tables that form within the table. And, you know, you only have to look at like Sheffield United that, you know, yeah, you bottom on goal difference and, you know, a couple of wins and you're nearly there. But that goal difference is effectively an extra point at this rate. And even between Luton and Everton, it's a, you know, it's a 10 goal swing. So it's quite a wide margin. I'd be interested to see if Forest end up getting clawed back into it. Now, Forest have got a funny knack of, you know, as you were saying, that maybe we don't know if Luton do have in terms of just being able to pick up points and getting, you know, two wins on the bounce and then maybe losing a couple and going quiet for a bit. And particularly, you know, with Forest potentially getting a point deduction as well, I could see them getting just dragged into it a little bit more. And with their susceptibility of conceding goals as well, I think I'd hedge my bets. And I think that Forest are more likely to get relegated than Everton. But I just get the feeling that Luton might just run out of steam, which will be a real shame because it's a fairy tale story. Obviously, you've got Rob Edwards there, who's still well-respected around Molineux. I mean, looking at their games, actually, to be fair, their end of season running's pretty interesting because their last five games are Brentford, Wolves, Everton, West Ham and Fulham. And if I was a Luton fan, I'd be pretty happy if those were your last five games because you feel your fate might be in your hands. If you're able to get three wins out of that last five, that might just steer them clear. But they also have a run of fixtures where I think in the middle they've got Spurs, Arsenal and Man City. So it might just be a case of how the fixtures fall for a few of these sides as well.
Yeah, I mean, good luck to Rob Edwards, obviously former player of Wolves, so we wish him well. Jordan, without sort of kicking your volume down, if we're going to be sensible here and say Burnley and Sheffield are going down, who's joining you?
Yeah, well, yeah, just weighing in on that. Like, I feel like Everton are just too big a club to go down, and I feel like we've seen over the last couple of years, like Goodison Park and the home fans, like they'll almost like refuse that they'll go down. Like, that's such a big factor, especially when the last few games are coming up. But on the other side, and again, like you were saying, like the points deduction, like they shouldn't be anywhere near the bottom three. And I feel like Sean Dyche and the Everton players will have enough. I think it is maybe like more likely Forest, but I still feel like Luton will. But at the same time, like you said, their last few fixtures are favourable, and they have that like that freedom. The pressure's off, and they're just enjoying the Premier League. And I feel like that's why everyone like would want them to stay up because everyone expects Luton to go down. So, and those last few games, they probably will feel the least pressure out of a relegation threatened team could feel, I feel like, because they feel blessed to be in the Premier League without sounding like condescending or anything or patronising. I feel like they're just enjoying it. And I feel like that will give them that unusual like kind of freedom in those high pressurised games.
Yeah, like you just said, Luton are really overachieving to a degree without, like I said, being condescending to them. If they can pick up their home form and get a few decent away results, it's all in their hands. I'd like Forest to go down. I know it's like harsh to say that on Nuno because of how much he's a legend here, but Forest is still the team that I want to go down. Who do you want to go down, Manny?
You know what? Everton have flirted with danger for how many years? You know, they've always, like Jordan says, always. And sometimes you think, you know, clubs like that, they just, it happened with Southampton for ages, always used to survive and then they finally went down. And sometimes it can catch up with you. And I know they've got this deduction and they did really well to get out of it. And they still are only on 20 points, aren't they? And sometimes that mentally, when you look at the table, you've done really well. You should be on 32, but you're only on 20. Luton win a game, they lose. Suddenly you're bottom three. Mentally, it's like, oh my God, we've done so much. And you feel like you're hard done by. So that could play on them because they don't, what Everton don't do, they keep it tight, but they don't score many goals at all. So I still think they've got a chance and probably them. Forest have got a goal scorer, haven't they? That one needs, he's sort of, he's injured a lot, but he does put, I think his conversion rate is very big. And I think the home form will probably carry them through. So, man, who do you want to go down? Brentford? Because they're time wasting. That's who I want to go down.
Yeah, I think that win at Molineux the other weekend's probably given them enough credit and probably a bit more confidence in the bank, especially with Ivan Toney recently coming back from injury. Let's look back to last weekend for...
This is an advertisement from Better Help Therapy Online. We all carry different stresses, big and small. It could be from work, stuff going on at home, or just from supporting a football team you flatter to deceive, and as the bedsheets have always said, let us down. We often bottle up these stresses and try and keep a lid on them, but when you do that, it can start to affect you negatively. That's where therapy comes in. It gives you a place to get these things off your chest, get down to root cause, and figure out how to work through what's weighing you down. Therapy is there to help develop positive coping skills. It's not just for people who have experienced major trauma. It's about empowering you to be the best version of yourself. So if you're thinking of starting therapy, why not look and give BetterHelp a try? It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible and suited to your schedule. With over 1,000 therapists in the UK already, BetterHelp can provide access to mental health professionals with a wide variety of expertise in mental health. Our listeners can get 10% off their first month using the code betterhelp.com/wanderers. That's betterhelp.com/wanderers. Let's get back to the show.
Few moments, because to a degree you mentioned it there, man, it's the business end, squeaky bum time of the season there, both ends of the table. Wolves picked up a massive win, 2-1 away at Tottenham. Is Europe a possibility, Manu, or do we need to just accept that a mid-table finish is beyond fantastic this season?
Well, we know that. Let's be honest. Anything above, at the start of the season, anything above 17th, 16th, we would have thought, okay, yes, we'll take that and go on. So a mid-table is beyond what anyone thought. But technically, it's there, isn't it? Technically, you look at the table and the fixtures, and you see some of the results we're producing, the opportunity is there. But what we didn't do was we didn't really bring in anybody in January. I think they hedge their bets. They want to get probably do that in the summer. They see, you know, if they do make Europe, it will be a complete and utter bonus of doing it. It's not an expectation, I think, at the club, which is probably a good thing, because it'll probably mean we can play with a bit more freedom and just give it a go and see if we get there, rather than, you know, having this pressure of, oh, we've got to make Europe, or we're really close. I think they're just playing with freedom where they can go to places like Spurs last week. Let's be honest, that's a tough place to go generally, but we've got a really good record there, and it was classic Wolves, you know, just soaking it in, just controlling, defending really well. The two men in midfield were sensational, breaking play up, and then using all our attackers are banging form, aren't they? They're all banging form. Their stats and their record they've got this season compared to our previous seasons, it's like chalk and cheese. So, like, huge kudos to Gary O'Neill and his backroom staff to get that forward line functioning. And it seems like whoever they bring in, we missed Neto and we didn't suffer. We missed Huang for a month. We didn't really suffer. We lost Cunha and we still went and beat Spurs. So it seems like he's got a philosophy, and whoever he brings in, whether it's Bellegarde, Sarabia, you know, whatever mixture of the front three it is, they seem to still tick and work. We just need to get back on track at home, like I said. So, yeah, it's possible, but I'm over the moon with where we're at and what we've done already. And there's people who talk and say another win and we're safe. And you know, because at the start of the season, that's what the reality was. When I came out of that Ipswich game, even though it was Carabao Cup, after we'd drawn at Luton, and we were so terrible, Gary O'Neill looked completely clueless on the touchline. And I was ready. I was, you know, I'm usually Mr. Positive. I was ready to say, that's it, man. And then we go and beat Man City. And I don't expect it, but I think that will carry in Wolves' favour to make a fist of it.
Sorry to bring it up, Jordan. Obviously, losing at home 5-0 to Brighton last weekend. From an outsider's perspective, Manny and Richard both mentioned it. Wolves are only 3 points behind Brighton in seventh place. Brighton have got quite a considerable better goal difference. But can Wolves finish around the 7th, 8th position, Jordan, looking at those teams above us. Chelsea on the same amount of points. West Ham are in a bit of bad form at the moment, just 1 point ahead. Newcastle on 37 points, and then Brighton on in 7th place on 38.
Yeah, I mean, as a neutral, I probably wouldn't have Wolves as like first pick. I think like the likes of like Newcastle and everyone keeps waiting for Chelsea to be more like the old Chelsea. And I think Pochettino is a good manager. So I do feel like they should improve, even though we keep saying they should improve and they can't get any worse. But they should, you know, finish strong. So I wouldn't say Wolves like favourable, but, you know, they've got a chance. And I did think it was weird at the start of the season when everyone was like tipping Wolves to go down. And I think watching them and what I've seen of Wolves this season, I think it was quite clear to see quite early on that they wasn't going to be involved in a relegation battle. And I feel like almost similar to like Luton, I feel like because those like pre-season expectations, you didn't really think you'd be having a chance of Europe. So again, maybe you guys out of all those teams, you know, compared to Chelsea and Newcastle, who would expect at least a European position, you know, like maybe that again, that the pressure off might work in your favour and you could do what's, I would say, isn't expected, but you've got a chance.
Come on, Rich, go viral for a second. Tell me we're going to Europe.
We're going to Europe, Dan. I mean, it might be through the FA Cup, but, you know, honestly, I'd be happy if we finish 11th, but can just keep up with that pack, because we are in the bottom of that middle band, aren't we, realistically? And I kind of go, well, are we going to be able to overtake, what, 5 teams, is it, that we need to kind of leapfrog? Personally, I reckon we can overtake West Ham. Chelsea is such a bloody wild card. You don't, like, it's hard to tell in 13 games. They might win 8 or they might lose 8. You can't judge them, to be honest. Newcastle have just gone that little bit off the boil for me. And Brighton, who knows? They got a good result last weekend, but obviously they've kind of got one half on Europe, and I think teams are starting to figure them out that bit more, including Wolves as well.
Can I put a different angle for this for a slight second?
Go on.
Do you remember that first season under Nuno in the Premier League when us and Watford were going for the 7th place finish?
Yeah.
Wolves and Watford both end up in the semi-final. You know, whoever gets through this FA Cup tie, does the other one seal 7th? Don't know how that FA Cup tie next week is going to have an effect on the remaining Premier League fixtures, do you?
I think it's going to show the mentality of both teams. You're right, in terms of where their priorities lie and what their focus is going to be. And you know what? If we do get beat by Brighton, it just gives us more motivation for the 26. With the next 12 league games for me. And that just means all our eggs go in that one basket. If we beat Brighton and we're in the quarterfinal of an FA Cup and the draw goes our way, then you can see what's going on. Hang on, let's have a push here, because you know, a quarter final and a mid table finish is good for Wolves any season. Getting into the quarter final or semi final of the cup on the back of a tumultuous pre season, it is massive. I can, in a way, I think it would be better for Wolves not to qualify for Europe next year, because we just don't have the squad. I don't think we've got the quality of players to really compete on all fronts, and it's a real shame to say. And I think if we were able to have almost use this season as that building block, and Gary O'Neill's effectively proven himself as a quality manager at this level, he's got a pre-season, as sort of Manny alluded to maybe bring in a few more of his type of players. And he's that right now. And he didn't, arguably, in January, despite how well we were doing. I don't think there was quite that 100% faith to kind of for the club to put chips in for him, for me. But if we end up finishing 10th, 11th, I think he's done more than enough to showcase, actually, you know what, this is a guy we can back. Let's make sure we're going to get players who fit with his style and like, you know, and you know, your Fabio Silva's et al.
I love people who preempt things still with the asking what is the ticket allocation at Wembley. I like that vibe. It's pretty much already there.
You've just got to think that far ahead, haven't you? You know, it's only natural to like just be planning out our weekends. You know, it's like, what else are you going to be doing on the 20th of April? You know,
I'm going to go against what you've said previously there, Rich. I just think if we can get into the Conference League, I don't, it makes no odds to me whether
we'd be amazing.
I want to see Wolves back in Europe. If we have to go and get beat by some Lithuanian title challenger.
Right, you know what? West Ham had some great fixtures in that Conference League, so they went to some great places. So
I want to be caged in some like Estonian town on a Thursday night, freezing cold. I want them European nights back. When we play Brighton next week, just quickly, if we draw, does it go to extra time penalties?
It's no replays, isn't it? Fifth round.
Yeah.
So I'm going to come to you
on the night,
question, Mane.
Yeah,
you've got a choice.
Yeah,
draw against Brighton and beat Sheffield United, or draw against Sheffield United and beat Brighton. What are you choosing? Because
I'm going to go for the beat Brighton. I'm massive FA Cup fan. Massive. It's like the competition we grew up as youngsters. We didn't know about the Champions League. The Milk Cup, it was called back in the 80s, like the League Cup, you know, it wasn't a real huge competition. So the FA Cup was the romantic cup. We've been year on year, third round, fourth round. And suddenly then we made that semi-final and nobody wants to talk about it. It was the hardest watch ever. But we've got a chance, man. And I'm really disappointed in the club here because next week, you know, a chance to get into the quarterfinals of the FA Cup. And they had a chance of having Molyneux rock in and doing something a little bit special because you don't know if you're going to get another home tie. In the FA Cup. And to price, you know, 30 quid. And it's so hard. We've got three games in 6 days, Wolves. And because Newcastle on the Saturday. So you got, you know, that's the only my concern. That it's not going to be a full crowd. And maybe because we're playing Sheffield United on a Sunday, Newcastle on a Saturday, that one or two players may be rested. And like Richard has said, we ain't really got a huge amount of players to rest a huge amount of players. So I would still go for Brighton win if it meant we only drew against Sheffield United just to get into the quarterfinal, because that's one step away from getting back to Wembley, and that, you know, we need to lay that ghost.
I was going to say, I guess more importantly, and I guess it's the following, we could go 13 games down this, is actually arguably the more important fixture for Wolves is that Newcastle game. Because if we're still in kind of touching distance of them, you know, this time next week, like if we're still, what, 2 points behind them, you know,
we could go above Newcastle this weekend.
Yeah. You know, there's a real big opportunity, isn't there? You know, that odds on they lose to Arsenal, or you know, even if you know they get a draw against Arsenal, we beat Sheffield United, we're level on points, but with, you know, goal difference. I guess on Monday morning, or you know, it's going to be a real dilemma in terms of whether we push for a cup. You know, especially if it goes into added time and stuff like that, or you focus on actually, you know what, let's see if we can, let's say, claw back one of those teams around us in the table.
Thanks to everyone who's commenting tonight. She's commented a few times. I've got to bring her in because she's one of the most sensible Newcastle fans that I've come across.
Lisa's
commented, and she did mention earlier, she did offer me quite a bit of support in that Twitter poll that was going quite big yesterday. We tried to get Wolves back in the percentages. Lisa's commented saying, even all two fan popping in from the show, showing support for Manny's epic walk to St James's Park. Much love from the Toon Army. Wolves is definitely a bigger club than Sunderland. I'm still adamant on that. People can offer dynamics to why Sunderland and bigger, but just not, and I'm not having it. So thanks for Lisa for commenting. Everyone who's watching, please like and subscribe to the channel. If you're commenting from anywhere in the world, we appreciate you joining us. We've got Jerry Gambone in the Philippines at 4:30 in the morning. Jerry, this episode is available for the rest of eternity as far as I'm concerned. either get yourself off to work, Sherwood, or whatever, or get yourself back to bed, because this episode will be here as long as you need it. Nat Hughes is commenting, if we're in Europe, I'm going to have to explain to my wife why our trip to Europe includes a stopover in Wolverhampton and Riga. I love the preempting, guys. You're already there.
I was going to say, it is mapping out which Eastern European country you need to do it on. And Nate, that's going to be perfect for you. Latvia's lovely in August, I've heard.
I've got to bring Jordan back in because I feel bad that we're talking about Europe.
We've mapped out Europe.
Wolves and Sheffield United. It's not a hot topic at the moment.
I can offer you a bit of positivity, Jordan. It looks like Sheffield Wednesday are going down as well.
Honestly, like, do you know what though? It's actually got to the point where, as a city, it's a bit embarrassing. Like, you know, like, we are like, we've got, you know, our fan bases are quite big. Like, you know, if we're doing well in the Championship, we do get 30,000. And, you know, like, it's a big footballing city. It's what we care about. But to see us both doing poor and getting, you know, both probably going to go down to League One and Championship respectively, I just feel like, I don't know, I feel like as clubs, we're letting the city down and we're letting these, like, the fan bases down, because we have got big fan bases. We have good support, but yeah, I don't know what it is recently, but yeah, the good thing in Sheffield is that
you're basically the pride of Sheffield now. Kel Brook's retired. Your football team's in crap. You're the pride of Sheffield now.
I don't know. I don't know if I can. I don't know if there's much pride in me, but yeah. There's not much else going on in Sheffield, but it is a shame though, because I feel like the potential's there, and that's why I think it was frustrating when the owner tried to sell and no one wants to buy us, because it's quite a big city. There's a big fan base there waiting to be proud of their football team. And, you know, in Sheffield FC, we had the first ever football club. We kind of class ourselves as like the home of football. Like, it's what we're about, football and boxing. Very much a working class city. And and that's what our style of play trying to represents. You know, Chris Wilder, a boyhood blade. He's much, you know, he's a lot about the hard work, the grafting and just outworking teams. We might not have much quality or better quality than oppositions, but outworking them. But as previously mentioned on the show, we just seem to give up and have that mindset of, oh, we're going to get beat 5-0 today, or we're going to get beat 3-0 and 4-0. And the same goes for the team in Sheffield. Like, I think it's just poor mentality. And I don't know where it's coming from, but it's
the ownership, isn't it, Jordan? Like you've mentioned, I think their ownership is probably worse than yours to a degree.
Yeah. I think their owners responds to fans, doesn't he, on Twitter and Facebook by calling them stupid and idiots and stuff. So their owner is, he's all over the place, yeah.
Didn't he ask him to, like, foot some form of a bill at one point?
Yeah, I think he asked the fans to, like, fund something. Yeah, I think the players' wages didn't get paid for, like, 2-3 months. And I think it was something anyway. And, the clubs are messes. And I think the top of the club does actually affect, like I said, the whole mood and the whole atmosphere in a club, which does drip down to the players sometimes. And I think that's what you see for both clubs.
Yep. It's a long season. Like you say, it's a shame because I've always enjoyed Sheffield when I've gone there. I've got a good record at both Bramall Lane and Hillsborough for watching Wolves there.
Yeah.
I've enjoyed some good nights at the Lead Mill. I've had a few friends who went to Hallam University. So, yeah, I do enjoy Sheffield as a city.
Yeah.
Hopefully things can improve in the future because, like I said, it's a good city to be around. And Wolverhampton's the same. It's a footballing city. When Wolves have had a bad weekend, that Monday morning going to work is miserable. So I can only imagine how bad it is in Sheffield at the moment, where there's no bragging rights or any positivity from a football point of view.
No, I think seasons like this, they do like kind of like suck the life and actually like suck the enjoyment out of it, because if you do follow your club, and it does mean a lot to you, like it does for many of us, I feel like when you're doing this bad and it's almost like demoralising, you do have to like kind of like take yourself away, like from caring as much. Because if I know that, for example, if I was going to watch every pre-match interview, post-match interview, it would make my mood suffer. And I think when you're getting beat 5-0 or like, you know, like every other game, it is demoralising. I just think we're happy to be in the Prem, but not if we're going to get smashed like this. I just feel like respectable points tally and a respectable goal difference, but you know, our goal difference is actually getting embarrassing. Like, I actually don't know what the record is for the worst goal difference ever, but
you've got it, mate, at the moment, I think.
Yeah, I just hope that we end
after
the
25
season.
Games, I think it is the worst in it at the moment.
Yeah,
sorry.
Yeah, I just hope that we finish the season without breaking any embarrassing record like that. Yeah,
so you're saying with 13 games to go and already on minus 43. I think maybe like Swindon may have like conceded more than 100 goals in one season.
Do you know what's ironic? I was born in Swindon That's my hometown. So I you know, like, I know, like, is it like rule number one of football is you can't support two clubs, but I mean, it's safe to say Swindon Town are my hometown team, and obviously I've been a season ticket holder at Sheffield United for like 20 odd years. So it's safe to say I've got strong alliances with both clubs, and yeah, they both can be embarrassing at times. So that's, yeah. It's maybe me. I'm the problem.
Possibly, Jordan. Maybe we'll come to that. Hopefully, maybe a couple of seasons when we're hopefully you've bounced back to the Premier League. Gary O'Neill had his pre-match press conference earlier on today. Nothing really groundbreaking in regards to news. Obviously, Mateus Cunha will be out again this weekend. Gary O'Neill did mention that the medical team have been impressed of where he is in his actual return to getting back to sort of fitness, but there's still no time frame on when he will actually return to actually being out on the grass with the rest of the team. The other devastating news this week was that Sasa Kalajic has done his ACL again three times now. I think he's done that. It's a very bad situation for a guy of his physical frame. It's sort of similar to Matt Murray that, you know, once those knees are gone and you're quite a top heavy guy, it's a long way to come back from. But we wish him well in his recovery. It's a shame. You don't really want to see players be injured, but Wolves have got a record for signing these types of players.
Yeah, Dan, I was just going to say, like, you know, somebody asked me at the game, they said, why is Sasha Kalajic not very good in the air? He never jumps for the ball. I said, he never jumps for the ball because he can't land back. He can't land back, I said back before, on his knees. Once you've done your knees, since you've had two ACLs, the last thing you...
For a guy who's 6'7", when he jumps, he's 6'4". How is that possible? Mm.
He's not had to learn how to jump.
Well, it's
simple.
It is actually down to his injuries. If you've got poor knees, what happens is if you jump, you don't want to land back. You're always conscious about jumping too high because the impact on your knees, because they'll give way. So you just hold back when you jump, and that's what he was doing when he came back. He just wasn't jumping for balls because he was protecting his knees.
Yeah, lack of leverage. Just coming back to what you said a moment ago, Jordan, in regards to maybe you being a jinx, Sean Crow was asked the question, can we convince you to become a West Brom fan?
No, I mean, if I was going to swap clubs, I wouldn't swap for another club that, you know, probably has more misery than good times. I would love to be... Like you said, you know, obviously you was talking earlier and I was just listening about you debating whether you want to go for, you know, European places or the FA Cup. And I'm thinking, it's great problems to have. It's like, as a Sheffield United fan, as a neutral, I'm just thinking, just go for both and appreciate it. And like, you know, like, be blessed that you have that luxury of choosing, you know, a really good FA Cup run or European places. Because, yeah, there's a lot of misery. And I know Wolves have spent a few seasons in the Championship over the, you know, like maybe the last 10, 20 years, but... You know, you're in a great place at the moment, but I was thinking as well, if you win the FA Cup, do you still not get a European place that way as well?
I don't think that's the case anymore, yeah. Is it?
If you won the FA Cup or the League Cup, if you went in the top seven, that would give you like a... Before the Europa Conference came in anyway, I thought it would give you your Europa League place. But it's just normal. I don't know.
It's like fifth place, could possibly still get Champions League this season. So I don't know whether that's had an effect on the FA Cup.
No. So according to the good people at Wikipedia, FA Cup winners qualify for the following season's UEFA Europa League. Yeah. This European place applies even if the team is relegated or not in the English top flight. So it's still... I'm surprised that it's not shifted to the conference.
Mm.
Europa Conference yet. That I'd see that happening in the near future.
Maybe they might make the FA Cup, Europa League, and the League Cup, the Europa Conference. But
yeah,
but again, like, I think weighing in on that topic, as if I was a Wolves fan, I think I'd want them to go for both. But I feel like, you know, like, there's going to be a good few seasons that you'll have where you've got a chance of, you know, being around mid table. But I just feel like, you know, getting European football that way, but also with like trying to win the FA Cup, I just think it's far, you know, much rare. So I don't know, like, winning that topic, I'd probably I'd go for both, but yeah, I'd rather, if I could have to pick between an FA Cup run and, you know, maybe getting to the final or trying to get seventh, I'd probably pick the FA Cup.
You know what, Jordan? Fuck it. We'll win the FA Cup and we'll finish seventh. Fuck it.
Why not?
Why not? Yeah.
Why not both? Both.
Make sure.
I mean, like, to be fair, Jordan, I'm the same as you. I think I used to be a bit unsure about it, but like at the end of the day, football's about memories.
Exactly.
Like, and what are you going to remember? Get into a semi-final, get into a final and winning it, or Wolves finished eighth. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. It's like even that season under Nuno in 18-19, we remember that we lost in the semi-final of the FA Cup, arguably before we remember we finished seventh, in my opinion. Yeah. And even the season afterwards, like, you know, we're in the Europa League. I just sound like I'm bragging now, don't I? But we remember beating Espanyol. We remember going out to Seville, just that bit more than us finishing seventh again. Yeah. Admittedly, because it was under lockdown, and still with V says in the comments, we're just up for a cup. You got to be.
And as well as with the FA Cup, the semi-finals at Wembley as well. So it's not just the final. Like, and as a Sheffield United fan, I think we've been to Wembley four times and lost every time. Well, it might even be five now, because, yeah, we lost against Man City last season in the FA Cup semi-final. But those FA Cup semi-final days, going to Wembley, just a day out of Wembley, is, like you said, it's days that you remember forever. And I feel like that's what football is all about. I feel like you remember that when you grow up, you do start to look back at your memories in football. And they're not really like, you know, like over the season, you finished in a certain place. It's always those big games or those big days out. So, yeah.
Jordan, let's quickly talk about that FA Cup run that you had that led to Wembley. Tommy Doyle's goal against Blackburn.
Yeah. Well, do you know what's weird? So that, again, obviously I'm known for being a Married at First Sight. That game was getting played while I was waiting in the room to wait at the altar to get married. That is, it was that day. And I would have been at that game, but I couldn't because I was getting married on TV. So that's a fun fact. So that was a good day for me.
Worth it. Like you say, it's all about making memories, ain't it?
Yeah. And we played Man City at Wembley, and the apartments that we was living in at Married at First Sight was literally on Wembley Way. So, yeah, I was on at the TV people behind the scenes saying, look, I need a day off filming to go watch the Man City Sheffield United game, which I got in the end. But, yeah, see, they're the memories you want, right? You just want those. They're the memories you remember.
Knight Hughes commented saying, if the winner of the FA Cup is outside of the top seven, then the seventh place team doesn't make it. Yeah, that would be nice. I mean, they did pick up a win last weekend, but they did seem to be stuttering a little bit. If Villa could somehow finish seventh and Wolves win the FA Cup, I wouldn't be against it, guys.
Just inject it, Dan. Just inject that.
Let's have a quick look at the likely lineups for the game on Sunday. We've gone for pretty much the same team that started the game away to Tottenham, a front three of Hwang, Neto and Sarabia. Midfield two, absolute special midfield dynamic duo, Lamina and João Gomes, and wing backs Aitonori Semedo, with back three of Totti, Dawson and Max Kilman. Looking at your lineup that we did off air, Jordan, it's a bit haphazard. We tried to come up with some options, but we've had to settle on a midfield three of Heimer, Souza, McAtee, and McBurney behind Cameron Archer.
Yeah. Yeah.
What players are giving you confidence on the back of a 5-0 defeat, Jordan?
Obviously, we discussed about the Luton game, and the Cameron Archer goal at Luton kind of like just shows a bit of the quality he's got. I think, you know, like, you provide him service or give him the ball enough, he has got that moment in him where he can produce a goal by himself. McBurney, like, again, he kind of represents, like I was saying, like the Sheffield fan base, like hardworking, puts himself around. So I don't mind the striking partnership. I think it's just defensively. I just think that any time a team attacks us, they look like scoring. And I think a big part of that is John Egan, who has been literally the rock, the heart of our defence for the last few years. He's not been playing many games, obviously, like, through injury and stuff. So, yeah, I think it's just defensively that's our worry. And I feel like that's where Wolves' front three, you know, at Molineux can expose us.
Manny, there has been a bit of a conundrum with Wolves for a long few years now about not being able to break teams with the low block. Yeah. How can we make that a different outcome the weekend?
Yeah, so the key for me is Ait Nouri. You know, he's literally on that match, he's got to play like a left winger. And that will move Neto, you know, more centrally to roam everywhere, or give Hwang license to move. And then you just have Totti, you know, moving over a little bit. So there'll be this fluid sort of system that encourages Ait Nouri to just hug the wing, because this is Sheffield United's weakness. They can see goals. They can need a lot of goals. So that's what we've got to go for. We can't just sit the way we sat at someone like Spurs. They're a really good side. They keep the ball, you know, and we brought them onto us and then we hit them. Sheffield United aren't going to do that in particular. So we've got to use our players. And Ait Nouri is that player. I think he's the key. If we can, you know, having Neto is amazing. I mean, we're just like bewildered by what he's doing. But Ait Nouri's got like qualities to do the same on the other side, and you've got two guys attacking, and I think that's the key. If we can get him forward, get him and get Totti moved over a little bit, it almost makes it a bit of a four.
I did see earlier on today on Twitter that Wolves are apparently going to demand in the region of £80 million for Pedro Neto this summer, Rich. It's all paper talk. What do you think is going to be the sort of fee that he does go in the summer for?
Probably 60 to 70. I'd be realistic. If we could get 80 for him, amazing. Maybe Arsenal would spend that amount on him. I don't quite know. Maybe a Liverpool potentially, but obviously it's difficult with Liverpool because they're getting a new manager in. I mean, it feels like there's an air of inevitability that Neto will go in the summer, which is a shame, but it's how the model needs to work. That we bought him in cheap, we've developed him, we've kind of guided him through the process to be one of the top end players in the league and make that impact. And we need cash it. We'll have to cash in on him. We kind of got lucky with Ruben Neves in terms of that sale. We missed the boat in terms of actually trying to make a profit on him. It was only through, you know, the Saudi league hitting off that we managed to make a big coup on him. But as we kind of said, like, no player is irreplaceable. I think it would be devastating if we somehow lost like Neto and Kuna in the same window. That's the real worry. And we've kind of got to hope in that time, if and when we do lose Neto in the summer, that, you know, whether it's someone like Chiquinho can step up or we bring someone else in who can play a similar role in terms of just being able to drive us up the pitch, because that's arguably one of Neto's biggest qualities, is his ability to kind of shift us from one end to the other. So yeah, if we could get 60 plus add-ons for him, I'd be more than happy. I mean, it's all bonkers money, isn't it, anyway? And I mean, in terms of what fee, was it about 8 million for him anyway? So we're doing well out of it. He's also a player who is susceptible for injuries as well, and I think that's my only kind of thinking in terms of why I think it'll be a little bit less than 80 for me, that you are only like a bad turn away from having him out for a serious amount of time. And I think that will put off certain clubs from going really high in on him. That's just, you know, that'd be my kind of two cents on it. But you know, let's enjoy it while we can, because I think even against teams where they do sit a bit deeper, he's got the drive to beat players. He's got the drive to kind of open up teams. And, you know, if it means he's out on the left on Sunday and we kind of opening up the pitch a bit more, then he can do that. If you want him on the right and cutting in, maybe makes the pitch a bit more narrow, he can do that for us as well. So it's just going to be about Wolves, A, starting the game off right, because if you play in a team who are a bit wobbly, we need just hit them hard and hit them early and make sure that they don't get a chance to settle. And if that doesn't work, just stay patient and really kind of keep working. There's some hard-working players in that midfield, and just making sure that, you know, we don't lose our heads if it's still 0-0 at half time.
We just had a comment in, Manny, from Martin W that says our club lacks ambition. What's your thoughts on that?
You know what? You look at all clubs now, FFP, Newcastle. You could say Newcastle are the most ambitious club when their owners came in. And now they're thinking, oh, we need to sell players because of this profit and loss thing. I think, you know, Man City and Chelsea were the last two clubs that could just throw money. And then this, you know, system came in, which has curtailed clubs really going some. I think, personally, Chinese ownership of football clubs, if you look at the history of Chinese ownership in football clubs, hasn't really gone to the highest level. They seem to, you know, get to a level and then they go self-sustaining. But most clubs are like that, and that's the reality. So where can we spend extra money on is stadium, improving the facilities, you know, giving the women, you know, pro, semi-pro contract. That shows sign of ambition for me, because they're not affected by the profit and loss and the sustainability rules. That's why I sometimes think, oh, have they lost focus, or do they really want to put any more money into us? And literally just says, said, run yourself as a business. But most clubs are in that situation. You know, we've seen what's happened with Everton, and now potentially with Forest and Newcastle, Villa, you know, talking about maybe they need to sell. Have a big sale. They've got a much bigger stadium than us. They've got, you know, so.
Yeah, lost a little bit of you there to a degree. Manny, Jordan, looking at your lineup there, I want to talk about one player. Obviously, he was a big signing in the summer. I like the look of him at Coventry City, Gustavo Jaime.
Yeah, he's been, again, he's probably been one of the positives of the season. And I think some of the positives of the season is that a player like Gustavo Jaime will be such a good player. And again, it's sad to say it, but we're looking forward to like Championship next season, really. And let's face it, like just bouncing straight back. And I feel like he is a quality player. He's shown his quality in the Premier League. And I feel like at that level, he's going to be one of the key players to bouncing straight back. And again, as bad as it sounds, but I think what we need as a club from now to the end of the season is to get a respectable points tally, you know, maybe like at least 30 points. Let's try and not break the, you know, worst ever goal difference at the end of the season. And then obviously get a bit of like a bit of better atmosphere into the club, and then look at next season at bouncing straight back. So yeah, a player like Gustavo Jaime like has been amazing for us. And every time he's on the ball, I feel like Cameron Archer, he can produce a bit of quality that, you know, that if we're in a tight game, you know, can help us maybe pick up a point or three.
Yeah, who do you think's likely to get cherry picked if and when you do go down?
I think the one thing I'd say about what the ownership has done now, and I think what we do as a club, is that we don't buy players that get put on a contract that will hurt us financially, so we have to sell, or that are at that mindset where they need to jump in the next, you know, couple of years. I think every player that we've signed was probably a view that we might go back down. We can probably keep him and bounce back, and I don't think any player will be cherry-picked. And I think that's what kind of happened last time we went down to the Premier League. Obviously, we spent 2 years there. Sander Berg was supposed to be coveted by quite a few big clubs, and we actually kept hold of him for the 2 years, which is why it was more frustrating that we sold him and Illiman and Jai when we went up to the Prem. That's when we sold our two big players. But I think, yeah, I don't think we've signed anyone that we're going to have to sell.
I'm not sure what sort of fee he would be commanding, Rich, if there was a possibility. Wolves have been after a number nine, and obviously Cameron Archer has done really well for Sheffield United this season.
I'd take him in a heartbeat. I think he's the type of player profile. He'd fit that Wolves line really well, because you could see him playing in that central role. He's got the pace. He likes to stretch teams as well. You can see him kind of interlinking and almost being, you know, our worry at the moment is how are we going to do without Kuna in the next few games. And I think Spurs game, didn't necessarily quite show how we're going to end up playing without him because of how we had set up against Spurs. I think the real litmus test is going to be how we do against Sheffield United without Koonan, without that real creativity or without that extra level of instinct in the box. And I think someone like Archer brings that to a team, and you know, to do what he's done in a relatively poor side says a lot about him. So I'd be interested to sort of see how much, you know, if he fits that like lovely Wolves bracket of like 15 to 20 million type of thing, then I think that's a solid gamble to take for me. You know, and especially if we're like, you know, we're talking about, oh, well, we're selling Neto. If he goes for 80 million, the club will take back 20 of it. So that's 60 million. That's three 20 million pound players. And if one of those was Cameron Archer, I don't think I'd be disappointed in terms of that for Wolves.
Yeah, they've got some furious players. Obviously, we were also linked to James McAtee last summer before we got the Tommy Doyle deal over the line. Let's quickly go on with the score predictions for the game on Sunday. I'll come to you first, Jordan, obviously. Minus 43, beat Wolves 2-1 at Bramall Lane, bottom of the league. How much is Sheffield United winning on Sunday, Jordan?
You know what, I'll probably be... This is enthusiastic for us, but I think away from home, I'm not going to go for a win because I'm not going to be deluded. But I'm going to say 1-1. I'm going to say 1-1. That's my score prediction. Again, I think the one positive we've got as well is the fact that we did beat you at home. So maybe the players can, you know, look across the field, see some of those players and get a bit of confidence from that as well. So, but let's face it, if I had to put money on someone, I'm backing Wolves. But as a Sheffield United fan, I'm going to say 1-1. So I'm not even going to go for the win, which is quite sad, isn't it, really? But yeah.
Mané, during that truly forgettable COVID season, Wolves ran out 1-0 winners at home to Sheffield United thanks to a Willian Jose goal.
Oh, what's your score
prediction for the game on Sunday?
That's a blast from the past, Willian Jose. You know what? I think if we can cut out our mistakes, because Brentford, even though they beat us, it was our mistakes, it was our rubbish play, it was our, you know, terrible defending. And if we cut that out, I think that's the only way Sheffield United are going to probably scored against us, no disrespect, and then we've got too much. So I'm going for a win, 3-1, because we don't keep clean sheets, unfortunately. It'd be nice if we did keep the odd one. But I just think we're on a high from last week. We've sort of probably got our tails between our legs because of the Brentford game and the defenders, you know, Dawson, he knows he had a bit of a mare in that game, you know, the goalkeeper and the first goal. And they don't want to do that again. So I just got a feeling that Wolves will turn up on Sunday.
Rich, your score prediction?
Let's go 1-0 Wolves. I think we'll win, but I don't think we'll do it convincingly. I think we'll struggle our way through it. But I think ultimately that's sort of what we need in terms of kind of showing that grit and determination for me, you know, particularly without Kuna. You know, last week, João Gomes stepped up to the plate in terms of giving us that extra push going forwards. And we need to make sure that if it's not him, that it's Lamina, it's Sarabia, like whoever it is, one of those players needs to give that extra 10%, which they're capable of doing. But you say it's a big week ahead of Wolves, and this would be a really good platform for us to build off if we can get 3 points one way or another.
Massive, massive week. Sheffield United at home, Brighton at home, followed by Newcastle away. Manny, tell the people a bit about your Dementia UK fundraiser next week that you'll be beginning Wednesday?
Tuesday, mate. So, yeah, after the Chelsea walk last year, October 2022, we decided Newcastle away, which is like bonkers, really. So 195 miles by foot, starting Tuesday, 5 o'clock from the Billy Wright statue, and 45 miles every day. So it's about 14 to 15 hours of walking every single day. And they hopefully get in there for about 1:30, Bobby Robson statue at Newcastle. And a big shout out to Newcastle. Lisa's gone now, but the Supporters Trust and the Supporter Liaison Officer there got in touch, and sorted a lot of stuff out for us, which is brilliant, you know, to see clubs coming together. Now, this is all for, you know, Dementia UK that we've been supporting since 2018. I would say 95% of the fundraising comes from the fans of the club. And that's one thing, you know, football fans are really good at doing. When it's when there's a cause there, they rally around and they give, and they, it's Wolves fans who have, like, I'm staying with Wolves fans on night four. I don't even know them, but they've, like, sorted the accommodation out for us, and we're going into their place. And so, yeah, brilliant cause. Dementia is, you speak to football fans, everyone's got a story. You know, one in two people now know somebody with that condition. And every 3 minutes, somebody gets diagnosed, and just need more awareness, need more funds, so we can find a way out of this most cruelest of illnesses, you know. And so I can't thank the fans enough for what they do and the donations they give. I think we've raised over £7,000 just this week alone towards it, which is like, wow, you know. I'd never had them, you know. Yeah, so we've well passed like 267,000, I think, in terms of all the charities that we've supported since that date. And yeah, thank you very much. So yeah, it's going to be tough, it's going to be hard. Who put hills in bloody Yorkshire? I don't know. but we'll get over them. And we're missing Sheffield, but we are going to Huddersfield, so another club that we like to donate points to. Yeah, so thank you, and please support. Find me on my socials, you know, Manny Sinkang, and my links are posted on the profiles, and whatever you can donate. And if you can't, just pass it on to somebody. I always say, pass it on to someone. You know, we're still going to get up, we've still got our beds and our food and our okay health, but other people, their lives can be changed forever just by a little bit of support that we can give. But those, all those little bits make a big thing, so thank you very much.
The football community is great when it does pull together. I mean, I was being called all the names under the sun for calling Diego Costa a flop the other day. But we've managed to do this sort of fundraising, like you mentioned, over 200 grand now. Fantastic, yeah. Fantastic effort. So, yeah, we'll be sharing the link on our socials as well.
I want to give a big shout out to my son. So my son, he said, Dad, I'm doing it with you. And I was like, are you having a laugh? I said, this is not a walk in the park, man. This is like Newcastle. But he was so determined to do it, and he's been training with me. So he's going to be with me, which, you know, for a father and son to do something like this is pretty epic, you know. Mm. So you don't spend enough time with your kids. Well, after that bloody 5-day walk, I don't think I want to see him the rest of the year.
I was going to say, you're not sitting next to him at the game, are you? I know. Just, can you imagine? Oh, just that.
Man, you did mention it off there. Just remind the people of how many steps it is in that away end.
Oh, 140 steps at the to climb to the top. So I'll tell you what happened was, when I finished that Chelsea walk and I put a tweet out to say, I've done it. The first comment was, oh, if you walk to Chelsea, if you walk to Newcastle and climb those steps, that would be a challenge. And it stuck with me ever since. And here we are. And someone has actually, at the end, he said, I'm going to give you a fiver for every step. I say, you do realise there's 140 steps. So he's committed himself to 600 quid, this guy has. He's a Wolves fan. And so we're gonna do it. We're going to get up those steps by hook or by crook, crawl up them, piggyback off somebody. I don't know. We'll get up them.
That's it. Like I mentioned to Manny off there, logistically, if we can get Manny on live during his walk next week, we'll try and do that. So, yeah, thanks for Manny for joining us tonight. Jordan, thanks again for joining us. I know things aren't great as a Sheffield United fan at the moment, but just let people know what you've got going on with your life at the moment.
Yeah, so obviously, yeah, not many wins on the football front, but like I say, won recently in the boxing ring, like you said at the start of the programme, and hoping to fight again soon. Hopefully it'll be Luke, a West Ham fan. No love lost there between the two clubs as well, so hopefully I'll be doing that. Yeah, and just my crazy life is keeping on being crazy, so we'll see what's next. But yeah, I've enjoyed coming on the podcast, obviously the last time and this time. Hopefully it can be a tradition, and we'll beat you on Sunday.
You'll never come on again if you beat us on Sunday, don't worry about that.
I was going to say, hopefully...
you're going the way of Huddersfield if you beat us on Sunday.
I was going to say, if we're going to go down, so hopefully we can bounce back up the season after. Maybe in 2 years' time, if I'm allowed back on, if we do beat you, I'll be able to speak to you then. But no, it's been good to talk to you guys.
What is the latest between you and Luke Jordan? Because as you, for those who aren't aware, on the Married at First Sight show, there was a bit of a altercation, if you call it, between the two of you. Luke was calling for the boxing match originally along with yourself, but he seems to have gone missing in recent months.
Well, that's it. He went missing. He didn't turn up on February the 9th when we were supposed to fight. So I turned up and beat someone else up instead. So hopefully he'll get brave enough to turn up if we can fight. But I don't know. I've kind of stopped. I can't force a man to be brave enough to fight me. So if he's brave enough to do that, then you know, we'll fight. But I don't know. We'll see. But I think there'll always be talks that me and Luke will fight. And I think when it does happen, it'll be big. But we'll see if it will. We don't know.
Thank you, Jordan. The Sheffield Steel Gael. We'll hopefully see you in a few seasons' time, or if hopefully, yeah, you know, we might play you in the FA Cup next season, and then we'll get you on again then.
Yeah, we do like an FA Cup run, so maybe, yeah.
Rich, tell everyone where they can follow the Wolves Fancast and when we'll be next recording our show.
Oh, I love this bit of show. So make sure you're following Wolves Fancast on X, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, and of course YouTube. We are at Wolves Fancast here, there, and everywhere for your Wolves lols and trolls. If you've not already done so, make sure you like, share, and subscribe to the YouTube channel. As Dan has shown throughout the show, we've got a great community of listeners on the YouTube channel. We've got a great community of people who listen to a podcast as well. Make sure you're kind of shouting about it as best you can. We've got a few things in the pipe work, which hopefully after the Sheffield United game, and fingers crossed, we'll be bringing you a podcast on Sunday evening as well. So it's in time, you know, you can either finish off your weekend, listen us talk about the game, or it's in time for your Monday morning commute as well. So hopefully I'll have a little bit of surprise for some listeners as well on there. That'll be a nice little treat. Nice little teaser to keep you coming back next time as well.
That's it. Thanks everyone who's commented, liked the show so far, subscribed. As you're aware, we have got a bit of an association with Shoot Music Promotions, and we're playing out the Howlers with their latest single, Lady Luck. Their album comes out in, I believe it's May 17th. So, like I said, thanks for joining us tonight on the Wolves Fancast. Hope you all have a great weekend. Take care of yourself and up the Wolves.